everybody, and welcome into episode number 385 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Meredith.
Meredith, welcome to the podcast. I almost said show, but it's not really a show as much as here's some trivia fun.
Well, God, please don't show anybody any of this.
So Meredith, give the people that are listening just a quick 30 second about you, just so that they know who is, where this fact is coming from.
My name is Meredith. I'm a district trivia host here in Arlington, Virginia, and parts of DC. My fact comes from a long-stemmed love of Frasier, and I purely came on this podcast today to advocate for H. Frasier trivia, or at least more Frasier questions, and I do have reasons.
That's perfect. You come to the right audience because Michael and I are big Frasier fans. And this brings a little bit of sadness, though, Michael, because I miss our lunch Frasier watchings.
Very much so. I have not watched Frasier since we were last in the office.
Yeah, me either, because it makes me sad. It makes me think of the good old times where we could be in the same room without our mouths covered. The before times. But yeah, Frasier always has a special place in my heart. So I'm excited to hear your fact, Meredith. But I want to give you the opportunity to make a really difficult segue from it. So that's why Michael is going to start with his fact.
Awesome. I can work Frasier in.
Michael is also going to start because he is terrible at segues.
So was the inventor of segues, but we don't have to get into
it.
Yeah. So do you guys remember the movie from last year, Yesterday?
Yes. Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie, right?
Yeah.
My question is this: how much money did it take for that movie to get the rights to the Beatles music?
Who owns the rights to the Beatles music?
I mean, the family, the estate, I believe.
At one point it was Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I thought they bought it back.
They may have bought it back.
Maybe.
Wait, what? Wait, hang on. You guys are just like, oh yeah, Michael Jackson just owned the Beatles. What?
Yeah, it was something he bought. He bought the Beatles catalog. He owned all of the rights to all of the Beatles songs. Because when you have that much money, what are you going to do with it?
Why was that even up for sale?
I don't know.
Someone needed money.
Yeah. Side note, where do you think that they would post it? Because that would be a really interesting Craigslist ad. Like, hey, you want some songs about some nautical instruments and...
It's got to be like one of the recording studios or something like that was for sale kind of thing. And okay. All the rights to the music.
The intellectual this is actually what I do in my day job a little bit. But the intellectual property rights, like the artist and whoever like created whatever that deal was when they originally created the contract. So typically the artist would have it, but it can get passed to like next of kin, which is possible. And then also considering the Beatles, they probably had some kind of management team that was actually in charge of it rather than individuals. So yeah, it was probably like somebody needed some cash. And so they were like, well, we'll unload a package of this. The only guy rich enough to buy it, Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So I actually have the whole story if you're interested.
Go.
I will try to summarize it as best as possible. So the Beatles signed their contract with a company called ATV Music. They own the rights to all of the Beatles songs because the original contract says ATV Music owns the rights. So Meredith is 100% right. ATV Music was then sold a handful of times. And then in 1985, Michael Jackson bought it for reportedly, $47.5 million. And then in 1995, he sold half of it to Sony Music for $100 million. And then in 2006, it was valued, the entire catalog was valued at $1 billion. And then in 2016, the Jackson estate sold the remainder of their shares to Sony Music, who was then the owner of ATV, for $750 million.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, didn't Michael Jackson like die broke or no?
Well, he died. He might have died broke, but he died with ownership to the Beatles catalog. So he had assets, but no cash, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll put the history. It's the Beatles catalog brief history of ownership into the link dump if you're curious and want to read through it on your own.
but none of that answers Michael's question. That is
correct.
I honestly don't know.
It does give us some good base points to jump off of, though.
Yeah, don't even remember the question.
So I'm specifically looking for the cost for the rights of use in the movie.
Right.
To give you guys a little perspective, this is according to Box Office Mojo.
Okay.
The total budget for this movie was $26 million.
Oh, $26 million? That seems so low for...
I would say less than $26
million. $26 million to me does not sound like a lot for a film, but I have no references to what numbers, what the cost would be for the Beatles music. And I think if I'm playing, as Nick says, game theory, you're asking because it takes up a significant percentage of the film's budget. And there wasn't a lot of big name stars, at least that I remember. I didn't see the movie, but I feel like I would have known if there was somebody I had heard of.
There's no way you've seen this movie.
And you should. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if I liked more than three Beatles songs.
Ed Sheeran.
I just hope they have that. I like Ed Sheeran too. So I'm going to say 25 million. I'm going to say it's like a significant portion. They spent 1 million on the regular, like, you know, shooting everything, and 25 million was to get the songs, because that's the most important thing to that movie, I would assume.
Right.
Okay.
What do you got, Meredith?
I'm going to go with a cool 13 million, let's say half the budget. And my reasoning is this. Well, you do bring up a great point, Lindsay. As I recall from the movie, it's not the actual Beatles singing most of the songs. They are remakes of the songs. So that would lead me to believe they should be slightly cheaper.
Ooh, okay.
You are correct. However, I believe the director had permission from the families. None of the Beatles themselves were involved. But he received approval from the project from them and their families.
But what I mean is that's not them actually singing in the movie. So, like, if it was literally John Lennon singing that original version of whatever song, that would probably cost more, is my thought.
All right. Okay. Nick, what you thinking?
I mean, first off, we've got 50% of the budget and like 98% of the budget. So I'm going to say $1 just so that I can be closest without going over and therefore win, because, you know, I have a reputation to protect here. That being said, if I was going through this whole thing, I think you all are very much on the right path. I think it's going to be. I mean, I have seen the movie. I actually just saw it last week again for like the third time, because it's one of those movies that's on HBO or whatever. And it's just, you know, whenever you turn it on, it's got a Beatles song playing during it. So you just kind of stop and watch it. I would say it has to be a huge portion of the budget. I would probably guess about a third, which would be what, about $8 million. But it might be zero. Right. It might be that the Beatles thought it was so cool, so they only charged them a dollar. So I'm going to go with a dollar.
OK, well, it actually ended up being close to $10 million. So $10 million was about almost 40% of the budget. So in a lot of different ways, Nick was correct again.
Which nobody likes. Nobody likes. Which other
nobody,
than me.
Nobody enjoys.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like
Lindsay.
It.
Why do we keep having him on?
But $10 million of 40%. I mean, Meredith was the most correct.
Oh, I mean, I was definitely closest, but I do abide by the Price is Right rules, right. So I respect that.
I mean, if we don't follow the Price is Right rules, then it's just anarchy.
Which I'm not against. I'm just saying.
I had a really good segue for my fact, but I can't give it away without giving the answer to the question. So I'm glad that I thought that through.
Yeah.
So I leave it to Nick and Meredith to segue from yesterday, the Beatles music, into your interesting fact.
Okay. Well,
silence.
Speaking of things that happened yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, where we are, this is a terrible segue because it's not actually an interesting fact from yesterday. It was just where I am, it's been raining a lot. It started yesterday and it hasn't stopped. And the storms have been really bad. So bad, in fact, that I'm going to have to hyper edit this podcast because it keeps dropping my internet. Yeah, so it's been storming a whole lot over the last day and a half. So that got me into thinking about rainfall right? Because we have like the kids across the street are doing this, I guess, science project to record like the amount of rainfall. So they have the sort of like test tube things that collect the rain that's been falling just to see how much it is. So I got to thinking, what is the most rainfall that has ever occurred on the planet in a single day? Like, how much rain has fallen in a single day?
Planet-wide? Like planet-wide,
yeah. Worst storm ever, 24-hour period, worst part of the worst storm. You know, obviously, I think it's kind of obvious it's during a hurricane-type event, right, where there's just lots of rain. So, how much?
Okay, is this just the specific storm, as in, like, the most gallons of water per hour? Or are you talking like total amount of water that has fallen onto the earth in a designated 24-hour period?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about one storm, one spot. So the way you measure, the way the kids across the street are measuring it, so I assume that's 100% scientifically accurate, is that they have like a test tube on a stake. Okay.
And it's the number of inches, right?
And it's the number of inches of water that is collected in that test tube over, in this case, a 24-hour period of time. Right. So it only measures this one very small spot, but it's how much water falls into that test tube in a 24-hour period.
In inches, then, is what we're looking for.
In inch, I mean, I'll take it in miles and do the calculations if you want, but you know, it's less than that.
And we don't know where what city or what place this was. We just know, we're just guessing the inches.
So I can tell you all of the background information that you need, because it won't necessarily help. And I prepared for this as far as additional information or follow-up questions go. So if you'd like that, I can very much give it to you.
Which is new and different for this podcast in general.
Right.
Background information.
Right.
I mean, I immediately would have thought, when you're thinking of rain and a lot of rain, you're thinking of hurricanes. Like, okay, Hurricane Andrew and Hurricane Katrina and the big storms that have dropped buckets and buckets of rain. That's immediately where I would go. But I think even if you told me it was one of the big hurricanes that was, you know, decimated an area, I still don't know if I could pull the inches per hour that fell. You know, I remember something in the back of my head says like 8 inches an hour or something, but I don't know if that's just my brain trying to find the correct answer or something I had heard at some point at some time. So go ahead, Nick, give us your background, because I don't know if it's going to help. Maybe it'll help Meredith.
So the event occurred. It was Tropical Cyclone Denise in the Southern Indian Ocean, right? The location where it was recorded was a place called Reunion Island, which is real roughly about 700 kilometers east of Madagascar in the Indian Ocean. Okay.
How did they put the test tubes on top of the water with the waves? I don't understand.
It's
how they measured.
It's on an island. Reunion Island.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So yeah, and the record has stood for quite some time.
All right, Michael, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, as soon as he said Reunion Island, of course I had the correct answer.
Right. I mean, that's I thought that might give it away, but I said, you know what, might as well just go for it.
But because I obviously have the correct answer, I will let both of you guess first.
Okay, well, Meredith, as you know, you're not the regular here, so why don't you guess away?
Sure, I'll take a stab at it. Okay, again, I'm doing inches per hour, the most amount of inches per hour, or total cumulative inches?
It's the total cumulative inches in a 24-hour day. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Lindsay was throwing me off. Sorry.
See, I had the inches per hour, so now I can I'll throw in just an actual guess then.
So I can give you a little bit more that may help. So
I'm just gonna guess.
Okay,
I mean that's basically where we're gonna go anyway.
I was just gonna give you a comparative thing, because the storms that have been occurring around my house over the last 24 hours have dropped 1.19 inches of water.
And that's according to the kids across the street.
That is, I have not checked their, I should run outside and check their test tube. But yeah, no, this is actually recording to weather.gov.
Ah.
Fair.
Yeah. So that should give you, you know, the storm that's raging that knocked out my cable outside of my house was 1.19 inches.
I'm trying to go between 41 sounds like a good number, and so does 64. I think I'm going to go with my initial gut of 41. 41 inches.
41 inches. Okay.
Woo. It's a lot of rain.
That's a, hey, I lived on an island. They get a lot of rain.
What island did you live on?
Yeah, that's not surprising.
St. John in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Why would you leave?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I went there on a vacation for a week and it was the most beautiful place. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, it was cool. It rained a lot. Like I definitely, even when it doesn't seem like it's raining, there would be like whitewater rapids coming down the mountain. So I can very much imagine a lot of inches happening on another island in the Eastern Ocean, or I mean the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, so you got your guess. I'm feeling like it's going to be an astronomical number. And I guess it's just depending on Lindsay. What do you think an astronomical number is? I'm going to say, I'm going to say 5 feet. I'm going to go 60 inches. I think 5 feet of water.
So roughly as much water as you are.
I'm 5'9". Thank you very much. But yeah, just I could still stand, you know, but I wouldn't be very comfortable.
Okay.
So yeah, 60 inches is my guess. Michael, what you got?
I was trying to do math live on the podcast, and you know how that goes well for me.
Yep.
I'm going to say over a 24-hour period, I'm going to say 3 inches an hour. Sounds a lot like I'm saying 36 inches.
36. Okay. You and Meredith are kind of close.
Wait. You want to do that one again, Michael?
I would love to do that one again. I'm a little fried since it's the end of the week. 48. 72, I think, is what I'm going for.
Okay. So 3 inches of rain per hour would be 72 inches of rain in a 24 hour period.
Yes.
Okay. So we've got Michael.
I love that Lindsay was just going to let that go, too. She's just like, oh, no, he's going to look stupid. We're going to get comments about it. We're going to get emails. It's going to load our social media.
Yep. That's you know me too well, Michael, because that's exactly what I was going for.
This is Michael doing 3 times 24 equals 36.
You see, okay. San Diego, please don't take my degree.
So, Nick, what's the answer?
All right. So Meredith said 41. Lindsay said 60. And Michael said 72. The correct answer is Michael. He's not dead on, but he is closest without going over. The correct answer is actually 70. He's almost exactly on. It is just shy of 6 foot. So he is just over, which means Lindsay wins. 71.8 inches is the answer.
Oh, come on.
So Michael was way off and is no longer relevant in the guessing. And Lindsay wins.
Woohoo! Those are two of my favorite words in the entirety of the English language. So,
and I think that could also be our secret phrase. Lindsay wins.
Yay! Thank you so much. Lindsay wins is your secret phrase. Best secret phrase ever. Michael, just to re-hit it home. Michael, just to hit it home, what's the secret phrase?
Lindsay wins.
And Nick, what's that secret phrase?
That's Lindsay wins.
Meredith, what's that secret phrase?
Lindsay wins.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I'm living in it. I'm living in it so much that not only am I feeling good, but I also have a good-ish segue from Nick's fact into mine. So Meredith, I'm sorry, you get the tough job of having to segue from whatever the heck my fact is into your, what I'm guessing is a Fraser fact. So
oh my gosh. Luck.
So good luck. I will leave it at that. But Nick, you're talking about rain and water, and that is something that occurs on Earth. And Earth is such a big deal that it gets its own day, specifically Earth Day. I don't know. You guys heard this day that happens for our planet, Earth Day?
I'm not quite sure what Earth is, but I'm going to let you go with it and I'll figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Context clues.
Yeah, context clues. You'll be able to figure it out. It rains there sometimes, but Earth Day has been going on since 1970. And according to this one particular company/brand's website, they were the first and sole corporate sponsor of Earth Day in 1970. So my question for you guys is, who was the first sponsor of Earth Day?
Exxon.
Please, that's exactly what I was going to say. Please let it be ExxonMobil.
No, it is not. It is not. It's not like an ironic name. Like the company is done. They're pretty active in the sustainability green initiative world. And I think when I say the answer, it will make sense. And also, Nick, I specifically found this fact based on something that relates to you. So I'll leave it at that.
What company is known for being good looking?
My immediate reaction to that was, has Tesla been around since 1970?
No, it has not.
Well, okay, not specifically related to Nick, but related to something I've talked about with Nick in the past. So you will, the train of how I got to this fact will make sense. It will all be revealed. Woo.
Greenpeace has been around, right? It has to have something to do with it, although I have nothing to do with Greenpeace.
I don't know. Corporate sponsor kind of, it makes me sounds like a product, maybe? Like a sustainable product, perhaps, rather than an activist group?
Oh, yeah. No, that makes more sense.
I feel I'm going to take a shot here, and I don't even know when this was created, but I bet you it says this somewhere on the bottle. I'm going to guess Dr. Bronner's.
Ooh, great guess.
I feel like somewhere in that fine print on their label, they probably say this fact.
That is a really, really good guess. And I will say that you are definitely, I'll narrow it down, that it is a product I'm going to guess is probably in most everybody's home that's listening.
I think I got a guess.
Hit it.
I'm going to guess Dawn, the soap, because they use a lot of that cleaning up oil spills. I know that.
That's a great guess.
And it's a solid guess. I mean, you laugh at me all you want. That's a good guess.
The math is correct.
I'm not right.
No, you are not.
Okay, so what was just... Yeah, I don't know. All of the big companies around then were huge on pollution. So maybe they were trying to... I mean, I don't think Exxon is a terrible guess. What, like General Motors or Ford...
I can tell you that this particular company, its logo dates back to the 1860s. And so this has been around since, turn of the 19th century and prior. It's a long, long company. And I can tell you that the logo really hasn't changed since the 1860s. So it is an old time product and a classic product.
I feel like it's, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
If I can redo my guess, now I feel like it's like Coca-Cola.
Mm.
How about Chiquita Banana?
Nope.
General Electric?
Nope. This is something that is in everybody's house. I most likely would guess that it would be in your refrigerator. Also used in baking.
Baking? So Arm & Hammer.
Arm & Hammer.
Yes. Yeah. And Arm & Hammer is correct. This is according to Arm & Hammer's website, by the way, that they consider themselves the first sole sponsor. I couldn't verify that on EarthDay.com's website at all. But yeah, first sole corporate sponsor of Earth Day and 1970. Other fun facts, they helped give the Statue of Liberty a facelift on its 100th anniversary in 1986 with 100 tons of baking soda. 99 years of coal tar didn't damage any of the copper. So they've done some fun sustainability stuff and have a lot of environmental friendly products. Obviously, baking soda is, quote, you know, it's a natural thing, sodium bicarbonate. But yeah, Arm & Hammer.
Point of order, the Arm & Hammer Corporation is owned by a company called Church & Dwight, who is a publicly traded company. The vast majority of stock is owned by ExxonMobil. No, I made all that up. I'm just trying to be right.
You are correct that Church & Dwight does own Arm & Hammer, but I did ask which brand, to be clear.
Yes, you did. Okay, fine. I had no idea.
But Nick, I asked this, I wanted to find a baking related fact because Joey and I started watching the Great British Baking Show. And it is so delightful and so warm and fuzzy and just, it brings me so much happiness and joy. And I wanted to find a baking fact and I thought baking soda, baking fact, it all related together. But I was going to say my segue from Michael's originally was that what do people do at concerts? they get baked. Ah. And my fact was about baking soda, but right. that would have given it away.
Yeah, it would have. what season are you on? Or what series of Great British
Baking? I'm on collection two. So okay. I'm learning so many things and just have never felt more inadequate about my very humble banana bread chocolate chip muffins, which I put so much chocolate in them, so because I don't like bananas, that Joey just calls it chocolate loafs. Just a chocolate loaf. But yeah. Meredith, now it is your turn. Baking soda, Earth Day. How the heck are you gonna get this going to Fraser? I believe in you.
Ooh, I had a couple going earlier, but let's stick with the Earth Day. So Earth Day, that reminds me, another one of my favorite holidays, Fraser Crane Day, which is in, I believe, one of the episodes in 94. So definitely can go back and check that. But I do love Fraser. And in fact, I will be honest, a lot of the times when I host trivia, I do work in Fraser questions, especially when I need a tiebreaker. And all that stuff, so much so that my regular teams for our regional game showed up wearing Fraser shirts. So they certainly know how to pander. They did end up winning. A lot of love for Fraser. You can watch it on Hulu. Pretty sure everything's on there. Yep. Anyway, I did prepare about 90 different questions about Fraser to ask you, and that is not a joke. I am ready when you guys want to do a Fraser trivia. The question that I'll ask you is this. Over the course of Fraser's 11 seasons, how many different dogs played Eddie?
Ooh.
I may know this.
Ooh, that's a great, great question. I also want to, before we throw out our guesses, because I have a guess too. Meredith, Fraser Crane's got to be the most prominent Seattle Kraken fan, right?
What's Kraken?
It's the new NHL team in Seattle.
Oh, please. I think I just responded exactly as Fraser would respond.
Yeah. No, 100%. One of my favorite scenes is Fraser when he goes to the basketball game with his dad and just has no idea anything that's happening. It brings me great joy, but I was trying to think of other like famous, Seattleites. I don't know. Seattleans. Oh, what's the word?
There was a couple months ago when Chaz Chop was going on, there were some pretty intense Twitter threads where people were writing Frasier episodes of what Frasier would think of what's going on in the city. So if you have time to check that out, it is so worth it.
A couple of answers to some of the questions that have just happened. Lindsay, a person from Seattle is a Seattleite.
Oh, Seattleite. I never would have guessed that. But it does sound like satellite, which is really fun.
Yep, Seattleite. Fraser Crane Day is actually something I remember only because of its connotation to something else. Fraser Crane Day, I believe, is September 11th.
That is correct. I was away from being specific about the date, but you brought it up.
Yeah. So, as far as your question itself goes, I do have some information on that because I believe we've asked a trivia question about that, right?
Oh, well, then should I pick another one? No.
It's the only information that I have is that the dog's name, it was a Jack Russell Terrier and was named Moose. Right?
That was
so that's one. Yeah. So I'm going to go with two.
All right. Who's next?
I'm pretty sure it's two also, and I'm pretty sure it's Moose's child that takes over the role.
Yeah, I thought it was a father-son duo, too.
Dang, guys. It was a father-son duo. And I'm going forward because, Lindsay, you agreed. But you're right. It is Moose and his son, Enzo. So Moose did it for the first 7 seasons and Enzo for the final 4. So it wasn't like a direct, it was like a second or third litter for Moose. It wasn't like one of his immediate sons. But another fun fact about that is that Kelsey Grammer in his autobiography said the absolute worst person or the worst scenes he had to film were with the dog. He really did not like the dog.
Oh, he does such a great job of like, but I just love those moments where he like doesn't tolerate Eddie, but then you like see him just kind of being a little bit nice to him. And I just like to picture him. It warms his heart. It's like there's a subreddit called Dads Who Did Not Want Dogs. And
yes.
You guys have seen this subreddit, but it's basically, it's obviously just dads who did not want dogs, and it's before and after. And I like to think Frasier would be in that category where, you know, he doesn't really like him, but he just, you know, he'll sneak him an extra little biscuit, you know?
Or foie gras.
Yes. The word I can't even repeat to pronounce because I'm not fancy enough. So Meredith, before we wrap up, what is your all-time favorite episode? And I know that that's a really hard question to ask, perhaps.
You know, it's a hard episode. It's a hard question to ask. Honestly, all of them bring me so much joy. So if I'm ever in a bad mood, I throw on an episode of Frasier and I usually watch like three of them and I feel amazing. But my favorite episode is the one where Niles gets a cockatoo stuck on his head. And he's trying to throw a fancy dinner party, his first dinner party since he got his new place and left Maris. And he buys a cockatoo because he wants a pet. And not only does it scream out things like, you're a lush and she's easy, it also digs its claws into his head for the entirety of it. So he wears a napkin over his head. It's honestly, it's like theater on screen. It's so good.
I love it. My favorite episode is the ham radio episode. You guys know how much I love bottle episodes of TV. So like Dungeons and Dragons episode of Community level. That's like one of my favorite episodes of television, period. And the ham radio episode, they're all just in there doing a radio show. And it's just magic. It's just perfect. And just hilarious, really. Michael, what you got?
The ham radio one's up there for sure. I'm going to go ahead and take that one too. The ham radio one. You also hyped it up for like 3 weeks before we got there.
I know. I was like, Michael, we have to eat lunch. I just want to see this episode. I'm dying.
It was production week too. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to work through. Nope. We have ham radio.
It was like Christmas. Nick, have you watched Frasier? Do you have a favorite episode?
Yeah, it's Lindsay, shockingly, I watched Frasier when it aired live once a week.
Crazy.
Yeah, and the episode where Niles covers on the radio show and becomes far more popular than Frasier is, and the whole back and forth there, I think that's my favorite one.
This is good. Well, Meredith, Frasier trivia will happen at some point, sometime in the future. We'll make it happen, and obviously you will be our host.
Good.
Without a doubt, especially just because if there's any question debates, we know that you'll be able to handle them right from your head. It's like Nick and I with Harry Potter at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I just played in a Harry Potter quiz with a new thing that's come out, and I went 15 out of 16, and it made me angry.
Yeah, I had a friend that just watched, she's down in the NBA bubble, and she just watched the movies for the first time without having read the books. And she was a little bit confused at a few parts and just was texting me. And I was like, gave her way more information than she needed, just paragraphs on paragraphs on paragraphs. Well, Lillian, so anyway, Meredith, thank you for joining us. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Meredith.
And We Don't Know Either.
Bye.